بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد, having heard the call for support from Imam al-Hussein عليه السلام, حر بن يزيد الرياحي approached Umar bin Sa'ad and said to him, "Are you going to fight this man?" Umar bin Sa'ad replied to him by saying, "Yes, by Allah, we'll wage a war against him, where at the very least, hands and heads will be severed." Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi then said to him, "But how about the options that he offered you?" Umar bin Sa'ad said, "If it was in my hands, then I'll accept his options. But it's not in my hands, but rather in the hands of the governor who has refused to do so." Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi then went and joined with the rest of the soldiers of Umar bin Sa'ad. And then he looked at Qurrat ibn Qais and said to him, "Have you given water to your horse?" Qurra replied, "No." He said to him at that moment, "Would you like to give it some water?" To which Qurrat ibn Qais replied to him by saying, "I wondered at this moment that maybe Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi wanted to back off from fighting and leave the battlefield completely, thinking that he might want to walk away silently." Hur then went towards the army of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam until Muhajir bin Aus saw him. When he saw him, he said to him, "Are you going to attack Al-Hussein alayhi salam?" Hur remained silent and began to tremble. Muhajir bin Aus then looked at him and said, "If they were to ask me who the strongest warrior is in the whole of Kufa, I would say it's Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi. What is it that's overcome you?" He replied to him by saying, "I have to make a decision between paradise and hell, and I make the decision to go towards paradise, even though I may be burnt." He headed towards the army of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam with his head down and his horse going in the direction of the Imam, and then with the spear which he placed towards the ground. And then he turned his armor backwards and approached the Imam out of embarrassment and shame for what he had done. For he had felt that he had blocked the horizons for the family of the Prophet and left them hungry and thirsty. He approached the Imam calling out, "O Allah, I am repentant to you for forgiveness. I am the one who frightened your chosen ones and the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. O Aba Abdullah, I come to you repentant, asking for your forgiveness. Do I have a chance for forgiveness?" Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam looked at him and said to him, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you." All of a sudden, Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi began to smile, knowing that From that statement, eternal blessings would come his way. He then looked towards Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and said to him, Aba Abdullah, may I tell you something? He said to him, Hur, go ahead and tell me. He said, when I was leaving Kufa, I heard a voice saying to me, O Hur, prepare yourself for paradise. I wondered how I could be going to paradise while I was about to fight the son of the daughter of Rasulullah. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam looked at Hur. He said to him, O Hur, Allah will reward you for what you've done. Hur then turned around towards Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and Hur said to him, Aba Abdullah, would you allow me to address the opposition army that I used to be a part of? Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam said to him, O Hur, go ahead and address the opposition. He looked at them and he said to them, O people of Kufa, may your mothers lose and weep over you. You invited him and then you cut him off and then you surround him from everywhere and then you forbade him from leaving this land with his family so that they could at least go and find a sense of security. You have left Aba Abdullah like you treat a prisoner where he can neither help himself nor can he harm himself. Is this what you repay the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family with? That the Jews and the Christians and the Zoroastrians and the pigs and the dogs are all able to drink from the Euphrates, but the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad cannot drink from that river. He then said, may God not quench your thirst on the day that you need water the most, that being the day of judgment. They began to strike their arrows towards Hur. He retreated next to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. First of our loud salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Second even louder salawat in honor of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Third, with your loudest voices, in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman. Respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Hur means to be free. Hurriya means freedom. And indeed, when you see a group of people who are free, they are known as ahrar. And indeed, one may argue that the aim of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam on the 10th of Muharram was for everybody, whether on his army or the opposition, to find a sense of freedom in their life. We're at about 9:30 a.m. on the 10th of Muharram, 3.5 hours in. And of the commanders of the opposition, you find that most of them are adamant now that they want to go ahead and kill Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Battle has not ensued for 3.5 hours on the 10th of Muharram. Negotiations back and forth, conflict resolution, acts of diplomacy, until you found that Umar bin Sa'ad, so angered by Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam telling him that he will not get the lands of Ray and Jorjan, Umar bin Sa'ad now strikes the first arrow. A conversation then begins to take place between one of the main commanders of Umar bin Sa'ad's army, that being Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi. Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi, if you were to look at the army of Umar bin Sa'ad, then he was seen as one of the main generals. A general who was so important that he reached Karbala before Umar bin Sa'ad. As then we know that Umar bin Sa'ad arrived to Karbala a day after Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi. Therefore, in the eyes of the Kufans, Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi's presence at Karbala was fundamental. Hur had witnessed a week of negotiations which he was involved in at the beginning, because we all know that when Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, when he came to Karbala, Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi had a series of discussions with him. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, therefore, had seen that Hur was alongside him for a whole week. Hur had known who Imam al-Hussein was, had known the position of the Imam, and therefore begun his discussions from a week before. The beauty of the story of Hur is that it highlights on the first level that a person can change at any moment in their life. Sometimes there are members of our community, we view certain people as lost causes or lost cases. You view certain people that they can never ever change in their life. Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi highlighted to us that the door of Tawbah is always open for everybody, but on the basis of certain conditions. The first of them is that you had to look for that door, correct? A person has to be ready to take those steps for that door. A person has to be ready to knock at that door. If you look at Hur's interaction with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala, his interaction was always an interaction based on the main building block for repentance, and that was humility. If you want to achieve repentance, there has to be a sense of humility in you. Hur in Karbala with Imam al-Hussein, the first time they get together is a week before this moment. In other words, Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi in 1 week has got closer to Imam al-Hussein than he has ever done in his whole life. In that 1 week, the first time he meets Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he tells him that, where are you heading? He tells him, I'm heading towards the land of Kufa, as Imam al-Hussein had always planned to go towards the land of Kufa. Hur said to him, I cannot let you go towards that land. He said to him, why? He said, because we've been told that you cannot go past this area upon the orders of Ibn Ziyad. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, when he looked at him, he said to him that, no, I've had the people of Kufa who've written to us to say that we want to come and join. Hur said, forgive me, I don't know anything about these letters. All I know is that I've been employed by the government and that I respect you, I know your position. So forgive me, but allow me to be of those who stops you here at this moment. Also, if you can, my horses are thirsty and so are my soldiers. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam said to him, I'll personally come and I'll quench the thirst of your horses. I'll quench the thirst of your soldiers. And Hur appreciated that akhlaq with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, even though they were in opposite ends. After that, when salah time came, Hur, Imam al-Hussein said to him, you are the commander of those forces who've come with you. I am here with my family and my companions. So if you want, you can lead us in salah. Hur said to him, how can I lead the son of Fatima al-Zahra in salah? You are the one who has to lead us in salah. Such a person who has such humility and such akhlaq, even if he is not of the same sect as you, while they have that respect for the prophetic household, there's always a chance that the doors of hidayah will open up for them. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam led Hur in salah, and therefore they were beginning to build a relationship. Where does Karbala change? It changes in a couple of moments. When Umar bin Sa'ad comes, Umar bin Sa'ad tells Hur that, listen, there's no way that Hussein bin Ali can go anywhere near Kufa. He must stay in this place. He's not allowed to head anywhere near there. When Hur came to Imam al-Hussein, he said, I'm sorry. After further discussions, there's no way that you could head anywhere else. Imam al-Hussein looked at Hur and he said to him, Thakalatka ummuk, may your mother have never given birth to you. That moment when the Imam said that to Hur, a person of less akhlaq or less of humility would have raised his voice on the Imam, would have struck his Imam. In any language, when a person mentions your mom, normally at that moment you lose it. Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi looked at the Imam. He said to him, if you were the son of any other lady, I would have insulted you. But out of respect for your mother, I will not say anything to you. Such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he sees that humility, will open a door of hidayah for them. Because they themselves are good people, with good akhlaq, with honor, with dignity. Umar bin Sa'ad, in the next few days, has made it clear that number one, this family and their companions will not go to Kufa. Number two, a few days later, he makes it clear that they cannot access the Euphrates. Hur, you are in charge of ensuring that they don't touch the Euphrates. Hur said, very well, if that is the command that's been given, then they will go nowhere near the Euphrates. Look what Hur has done. On the one hand, he has respect for Imam al-Hussein. On the other hand, he has this unbelievable decision to make between dunya and akhirah. It's a huge decision that we've all got to make in our life at one point or another. That decision between I'm employed, I'm paid well, not really going to check how I'm paid as long as I'm paid well. Doesn't matter where the money comes in from as long as I'm paid well. Doesn't matter who I'm supporting as long as money comes in. Versus my respect for the religion and the holy household. And it's this unbelievable conundrum that he faces in the lead up to the 10th of Muharram. But, he's still in a state of peace because Umar bin Sa'ad has not announced the declaration of war as such. Umar bin Sa'ad, 3 hours on the night of Ashura, sat with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Umar bin Sa'ad used to hate when Imam al-Hussein, before Ashura day, would say to him, come, let's talk. Because he's thinking, you know what, he's going to convince me somehow. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I've been promised the most prestigious piece of land that society will ever see. What do I do? 3 hours on the night of Ashura, Umar bin Sa'ad and Imam al-Hussein are in discussions where Imam al-Hussein is telling him, listen, Umar, you all know very well that this person who you're obeying is not going to offer you any of the promises that he promises. All I'm going to say to you, allow me and my family to go home. That's all I'm going to say. Imam al-Hussein, night of Ashura, is adamant. Let me just go home. I don't want to fight. I don't want a war. I was heading to Kufa. If Kufans are not going to have me, you're not going to block me. Allow me to go home. Umar bin Sa'ad said, but that's not the orders that I've been given. Can't you just reach an agreement somehow? Let's just try and find peace with one another. Just pledge allegiance and go home. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam said, I'm not pledging allegiance to Ibn Ziyad and Yazid. There's no way. You don't want me to get in their way. I'll go home to Medina right now and we will not fight each other. Complete contrast to the Imam al-Hussein that we've heard on pulpits for years, that Imam al-Hussein came with his sword to Karbala ready to kill everybody. You know, Imam al-Hussein is very happy to go home on the morning of Ashura, on the night of Ashura, and go and live Medina peacefully for the rest of his life. What then happens is, Shimr bin Diljoshan tells Umar bin Sa'ad and Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi and the others of the commanders that, listen, we have a chance now that this man, if he doesn't obey, nor do we let him go home. He doesn't obey, we kill him over here. Says we kill him, Umar bin Sa'ad looks at him. He says, but there's no need to kill him. Let's just let him leave. Shimr says, I'll report you to Ibn Ziyad. And whatever then Yazid has promised and Ibn Ziyad, you will not get. All of this while it's happening, Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi in his head is thinking, what is going on? The son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi is in front of me. He is about to be killed. It's now 5:47 a.m. on the day of Ashura, Fajr Salah. They pray Fajr and he prays Fajr. Then they come to 7 a.m., they're still talking. 8 a.m. talking. 9 a.m. talking. At that moment, Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi realizes a couple of things. What are they? The first one was that from Umar bin Sa'ad's army, some started to join Imam al-Hussein before him. It's the most unbelievable thing when in an army of 30,000 versus 72, none of the 72 joined the 30,000. And some of the 30,000 joined the 72. When some of those 30,000 joined the 72, inevitably you're walking towards your death. Who in their right mind would leave an army of 30,000 to join an army in their 72 unless the leader of that 72 has such poise in his character that you want to be alongside him? Who would join the army of Imam al-Hussein? Many people in our majalis imagine that only Hur joined Imam al-Hussein's army in Karbala. No. 30 of the army of Yazid joined the army of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala. The first of them was who? The first of them was Nu'man bin Amru. He joined the army of Imam al-Hussein on the night of Ashura, having been a loyalist of Umar bin Sa'ad. on the night of Ashura, he could not take hearing the cries of the children, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. It broke his heart. He went from the side of Umar bin Sa'ad, where he has dunya, the pleasures of dunya, everything that you'd want, authority, governorship, wealth and riches. He went and joined the army of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Then you had a couple of brothers, Abu al-Hutuf, and you had Saif al-Ansari. They joined the army of Umar bin Sa'ad. Then you had Sa'ad al-Ansari join the army of Imam al-Hussein. Abu al-Hutuf joined the army of Imam al-Hussein. Saif al-Ansari joined the army of Imam al-Hussein. This Nu'man bin Amr joined the army of Imam al-Hussein. Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi therefore showed us something in life, that there are times when we see people, their lives change, where they move towards that's good. Either we take them as examples and role models, or we see all of them do things and we're the only ones who aren't. What do I mean? Sometimes I may see some of my friends who have started praying, but I'm the only one who doesn't. But I see them going to the mosque and pray. I see them changing. But I'm still adamant that I'm a ziyarati Shia. I will do ziyara and I will do aza and I will also do house majalis. But you could forget that salah thing. That salah thing is not for me. But I'll do everything else. When I see my friend circle have started praying and they're like, bro, why don't you get up and pray? When I don't join them, I cannot blame Allah on the Day of Judgment, because Allah showed me examples of people who changed in front of me. True? Say, for example, I have an addiction to gambling. I saw a couple of my mates say, bro, no more, man. Once I heard that lecture that gambling was haram, I stopped. I can either turn around to that person and say to him, you become such a boring person, man. Why don't you enjoy sometimes? Or I can look at him as a role model for change. Allah works in mysterious ways. How? Sometimes he puts in front of us people who've changed. And he gives them as examples. Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi saw these people changing. These people waved goodbye to him. Ma'as salama Hur. We're off. We're joining Hussein bin Ali. Malik joined. Malik bin Abdullah. Saif, Abu al-Hutuf, Sa'ad and Nu'man. Slowly soldiers from the army of Umar bin Sa'ad started to join the army of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Hur therefore, having seen these things in front of him, realized, what excuse do I have on the Day of Judgment when there are these guys who've changed towards the army of that man and I'm standing here as a commander? That's when this conversation, which I narrated, begins. Unfortunately, in many of the masa'ib of Hur, people don't mention Hur's sermon on Ashura. They don't mention Hur's discussions on Ashura. Many of those who sit on Minbar, at most you're going to get is Hur repented, Imam al-Hussein accepted. No, no, it's not that simple. Hur undergoes an unbelievable change that each and every one of us can be affected by. Let's see what happens on that morning of Ashura. Hur looks at Umar bin Sa'ad, both of them are commanders. He says to him, you're going to fight him? Umar bin Sa'ad said, yes, by Allah, I'll wage a war against him, where at the very least, hands and heads will be severed. Hur said, but how about the options that he's offered you? Which options? Didn't he say to you that he doesn't mind going home? He's ready to go home. Why don't we let him go home? He wants to go towards Medina. Let him go towards Medina. Imam al-Hussein was ready. Morning of Ashura, I'm going to go home. I don't mind. I would rather go home than see my kids butchered in front of me. At that moment, Umar bin Sa'ad said, look, if it was my choice, I'd let him go. But the governor, he says that this is the situation. It must remain like this, that we have to make sure that if he doesn't pledge allegiance, then we have to kill him. Habibi, which governor? This governor does not control your grave on the Day of Judgment. This governor is not going to stand up for you. How many times have we done something haram where we've made an excuse? It's because they told us. Or it's because they wanted this. What do you mean it's because they wanted? Why are you letting the peer pressure affect you? Umar ibn Sa'ad, all he has to do is say, let Hussein bin Ali go home. He would have the rest of dunya and akhirah. Instead, he says, look, if it was my choice, I'd accept what he wants. But the governor says no. Hur walked away. In the next moment, Hur highlighted one concept to all of us. An hour of reflection is greater than 70 years of worship. 1 hour of reflection. is greater than 70 years of worship. Those are worshiping. This man's reflecting. He's reflecting. The Maqtal says that he starts to blend in with the rest of the soldiers. They all know him. And you found that Qurra bin Qais looked at him. Hur looked at him. Hur had now virtually made up his mind. And it's not easy to make up that mind. And I will always repeat this wherever I go, that there is no Tawbah in the history of humanity like Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi. Me and you do Tawbah in London or the US or Canada. What's our Tawbah? What really, what's our Tawbah? You know what? I'm going to start praying Salah. I've become a superhero. Or I'm going to book a flight to Hajj next year, mom and dad. Are you pleased with me? Or I'm going to go Ziyarah. Or I'm going to stop doing something. That's our Tawbah. It's such an amazing Tawbah. Can you imagine a Tawbah where there's about 30,000 people ready to butcher you? That's Tawbah. That's a huge Tawbah. For you to change, knowing in a few moments. You know, there was a person on the army of Umar bin Sa'ad. His name was probably the most disgusting name you can have in Islam. Yazid bin Sufyan. That's like Yazid bin Sufyan. He hated Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi with a passion. Can you imagine this Yazid? How many years he's waited for Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi to be in a position where he could literally stab him. Literally, not metaphorically. Metaphorically, he's done many times, but literally. Yazid bin Sufyan, and I'll come to his lines because in the Maqtal, it's mentioned clearly, he hated Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi. Remember, the army of Umar bin Sa'ad was not made up of, you know, friends and mates and so on. Not at all. You had the Syria crew and you had the Kufa crew and you had all of these different crews, the Basra crew. These guys were not mates of one another. These guys had come with one intention. Sham pays well. That's it. So when they had come, he came and stood next to who? Qurra bin Qais. Qurra bin Qais had begun a conversation with him. He said to him, have you given water to your horses? And then Qurra is looking at him thinking, what? So Qurra said, no. He said, do you want to give water to your horses? And Qurra said that I looked at him and I was confused. Why is he asking me these questions? Could be a couple of reasons. One reason could be that you, oh man, may be concerned about your thirsty horses and the grandchildren of Rasulullah are thirsty. Could be. Another one could be that because they've come face to face as he's heading towards the army of Imam al-Hussein, now ready to make up his mind. You know when you're heading somewhere, you just have to make conversation. So he just looked at him, he said to him, have you given water to your horses? And the person said, no. And then Hur turned around and that person said that I looked at him and I was confused. Is it maybe because he wants to leave the battlefield? Has he changed his mind? He said, I just left him. And then Hur continued walking. When Hur continued walking, who saw him? Muhajir, the son of Aus. Muhajir, son of Aus, had known Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi for many years. He looked at him. He said to him at that moment, Hur, are you going to attack Hussein? You are ready to attack him? They were adamant. Nobody could ever fathom that a commander of an army of Umar bin Sa'ad could ever change. If I make it the most trivial, basic example of Hollywood, well, there are certain films in Hollywood, and the world of film is important because it depicts you how a warrior can be so arrogant but can end up being so humble. If you look in Hollywood films like your Gladiators and your Last Samurais and your Bravehearts, what is it that intrigues us the most? It's the honor of the soldier at the end of their life, the dignity and the scream for freedom. You look at Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi, brave warrior. No one could imagine that he was going to change. Muhajir looked at him and said, Hur, are you going to attack Hussein? Like smiling, like, you know what? This is amazing of you. You're a brilliant commander. You're going to go and attack the man, aren't you? And Hur just remained silent, and Muhajir said, I saw him tremble. Tremble. Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi trembles? So he said, I looked at him and said, if they were to ask me, this is a huge line, if they were to ask me, who's the strongest warrior in Kufa? I would say it's Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi. How big an honor is that? If they were to ask me, who's the strongest warrior in Kufa? I would say Hur.
But it's not about how strong you are physically. It's about how soft your heart is at this moment. You could be as strong as you want, but do you have a soft heart or no? Do you have a heart that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or no? He said to him, Hur, are you going to attack Hussein? Hur was silent, he says. Muhajir says, I saw him silent and trembling. Then I said, Hur, if they said to me, who's the strongest warrior in Kuba? I would say, it's you, what's wrong with you? And he just looked at him and said the most important lines that were ever said on the 10th of Muharram. What is the line? I have to make a decision between paradise and hell. Paradise it is. Paradise it is. But which paradise? Hur, you're about to be butchered. If I'm butchered next to Abu Abdullah, then I'm free. If all you Zawar died next to Abu Abdullah, wouldn't you feel that you've achieved success in your life? If you got to Karbala and you died next to them, may Allah lengthen all your lives, but you died next to Imam Hussein, wouldn't you be free? Say that I've died free? Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi looked at that moment and asked himself a question. I have to make a decision between paradise and hell. And I'll make the decision of paradise even though I may be burnt by my decision. Burnt, meaning that it's going to cost my life, but so be it. And begins the walk slowly towards Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Now that is not going to be easy approaching Imam al-Hussein. This must be one of the most difficult moments. Shall I tell you why this is difficult? I want you to all focus on this. Zubair, Hur. Jamal, Karbala. 10 steps. One goes right, the other goes left. One is remembered by millions in the world today, and the other is just remembered in books of lists of companions. Zubair, Hur, same situation. Jamal, Karbala. Talha, Zubair against Imam Ali. Here we have Hur against Imam al-Hussein. When Zubair realized, when Imam Ali told him, did not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once tell you that you were going to fight me? Zubair realized he was wrong. All he had to do at that moment is take 10 steps towards Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he would be remembered forever as the one who changed in the Battle of Jamal. Where did Zubair go? I'm not joining Ali. It's better that I run away and leave both these sides. Hur could have done that. The easier option, ride your horse, leg it towards Kufa, chill with the family, keep praying, do Jum'ah, fast in Shahr Ramadan. The harder option was to go to the Imam of your time and kiss his hand. That was the harder option. That's the difference between Hur and Zubair. Zubair left, Hur to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. He went towards the Imam. And look at the humility which has been there for a week in Karbala. In Karbala, he said to Imam Hussein, you lead salah. I will never attack your mom because is there a mom like your mom? Oh, thank you so much for quenching our thirst. He puts his head down, spear towards the ground. Why spear towards the ground? Because if your spear is like this, what does it show? That you're about to attack. Whereas if your spear is towards the ground, what does it show? I have no intention of fighting you. Then armor, he puts it backwards. So that if any of you want to kill me, feel free to kill me. I'm not putting my armor at the front. I am coming, and he comes with his head down, riding his horse out of shame, because psychologically anyone who does Tawbah breaks down when they remember the way they disobeyed Allah in their lives. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, half of Tawbah is regret. Half of repentance is regret. Can you imagine, just want you to think about this, the tears flowing from his eyes when he realizes, not that he's drunk alcohol, not that he realizes he's taken drugs, not that he realizes he's gambled or he's committed zina. No. I blocked the Furat from those kids. That must have been the worst feeling any human can ever go through. And every time one of them cries al-atash, it's because of me. He was absolutely disconsolate. You will never see a more broken figure than Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi. He was absolutely broken. And I actually think
that in a way he wanted death, because I think death for him would have been staying alive thinking about Ashura over and over again. So in a way, he wanted to die in Karbala as well, because the pain of what he's done has really destroyed him. But there's a point here. When a person comes to you asking for forgiveness, you've got to be a big person to say, I forgive you. Okay. So you, for example, I forgot to invite you to dinner in my house. I forgot to invite you. I'm not ma'soom. I forgot to invite you. But if you do forgive me, it's not for a big thing. It's small. Or that you didn't invite me to your wedding, and then I think, okay, I forgive you. It's going to take a big man and a very soft-hearted man to forgive someone who blocked water from their children. Imagine, just think about it. Your kids are thirsty. They ask for a bottle of water from somebody, and it's like, I'm not going to give you, and I'm not going to watch you die. Would you ever forgive that person? Would you ever forgive? There is no tawbah like Hurr bin Yazid al-Riyahi's tawbah. But there is no forgiver like Aba Abdullah's forgiveness. No forgiveness like Imam al-Hussein's forgiveness. Because you know when Hurr, he literally comes on his horse, the Maqtal says, and he raises his hands and he talks to Allah. Oh Allah, I'm repenting to you for forgiveness. I caused fright to enter the hearts of your chosen creation. I frightened them. And that's why we come ziyarah, because we just want to open up about everything we've done. And that's what you have to do. Because you have an Allah who is ghafoor. An Allah who is forgiving. And he literally says, oh Allah, I am repenting to you for forgiveness. I'm the one, I admit, I frightened the children of the, I frightened your chosen creation and the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Then he says, oh Aba Abdullah, I am repenting, asking you, is there a chance that I may be forgiven? Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, no second thoughts, no let me ask the family, no let me get back to you, no let me think it over, no let me get older. The most wonderful example of Allah's attribute of forgiveness in one human being. He said, Allah will forgive you for what you've done. How many of us have been wronged by people we say we never forgive them? I'm not going to say that you have to forgive at every level. There are certain crimes in some cases are really unforgivable. But there are others where you look at the example of Imam al-Hussein when he sees someone is sincere in their repentance. The smile that took over Hur's face when Imam said, Allah will forgive you. He began to smile in front of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Then he says something wonderful. He says, Ya Aba Abdullah, you know, when you become repentant and someone forgives you, you can't wait to open up to them about what you've been through. So he literally is like this excited newborn human being. And all of a sudden he tells Imam al-Hussein, you know Aba Abdullah, can I tell you something? Like a child, no longer a commander. And Imam al-Hussein says, tell me, whatever. You know, you just want to get it out? He said, when I was leaving Kufa, I heard a voice. Welcome and prepare for paradise. And he said, in my heart, I thought, how? And I'm going to fight the son of the daughter of Rasulullah. How am I going to go to paradise? He goes, now I know that it's alongside you. I found my way. And Imam al-Hussein looked at him and said, Allah will reward you, Hur, for what you have done. Then he said, Aba Abdullah, he said, yes. Like a young man. He said to him, yes. He said, do you mind if I go out and tell these Kufans what I think of what they've done to you? And Imam al-Hussein looked at him and he said to him, go on, go out. And he went back out in front of all of them.
And he said, O people of Kufa, may your mothers weep over all of you. You invited this man, and then you cut him off, and then you surround him, and then you forbid him to go to a land which is a land of security for him, and you hold him like a prisoner where he can't help or harm himself. And on top of all of that, O people of Kufa, that Furat, the Jews are allowed to drink from it, and the Christians are allowed to drink from it, and the Zoroastrians are allowed to drink from it, and the dogs and the pigs can drink, and the grandson of Rasulullah cannot. Is that not enough for you to change your minds? You will not quench his thirst, and the daughters of Rasulullah who are thirsty, and the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah not quench your thirst on the day when you will be thirsty. He went back. They started to shoot their arrows. He went back alongside Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam at 9:30 a.m. on the 10th of Muharram. Hur joined Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. When did he die? 12:48. Dhuhr was at 12:50. Abu Thumam al-Sa'idi at around 12:48, because you know the battle starts from 9:30 until about 4 onwards. From 9:30 until Dhuhr, as soon as the battle began, Umar bin Sa'ad, he dealt a major blow to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam's army. What was it? 500 of his soldiers. They know that all we got to do is shower arrows on everyone there. Straight away, according to Maqatil, Imam al-Hussein, straight away, lost between 38 to 50 companions straight away. Because an army that's massive, when it's against an army that's small, the cleverest thing for you to do is to shower arrows on the opposition. Start up like that. So he showers arrows. Between 38 to 50 die. That's why, in my opinion, the number 72 for his companions is too low. Because it would mean that automatically he would have only 22 left on the 10th of Muharram. And there's more than 22. So I side with the opinion that goes into the 100 to 200 mark. Irrespective. Straight away, they die. From there onwards, you have companions who begin to emerge one by one. And Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi is fundamental from 9:30 till 12:48. 3 hours and 8 minutes, he is alongside Imam al-Hussein's companions, bringing them back or trying to help them when they're alone. Him, Abu al-Fadl, Habib ibn Dahir, Ali al-Akbar. Muslim ibn Awsajah died early. When Muslim ibn Awsajah died, you all know, he was lying on the ground. Habib ibn Dahir came near him. He said to him, Muslim, if it wasn't that I knew that I would be dying soon, then I would tell you what is your will. And he said, my will is one thing. Look after the stranger of Karbala. Don't leave him alone. And Habib ibn Dahir said, I will not leave him alone. I'm here. Zuhair ibn al-Qayn, Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. All of us are here. Anas ibn al-Harith, Abis al-Shakiri. All of them were there. One by one, they would fall. One by one, they'd go out on the battlefield. One by one, they'd fall. It was just Abis al-Shakiri. He looked at the opposition. He's like, do you think us companions of Hussein are scared? One of you come out to fight me. None of them. None of you are going to come and fight me. Okay, no problem. I'll run into you so I can kill you. Imagine those companions, how they were. We reached 12:45. Abu Thumam al-Sa'idi looked up. He said, Aba Abdullah, it's Dhuhr time. It's an honor for me to defend you, but a bigger honor would be to pray behind you before I die. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam said, may Allah raise you as one of those who prayed and remembered Allah at this moment. Look how the smile on Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam when his companion said, it's salah time, let's pray. That's a Husseini. Aba Abdullah, we pray? He said, we pray. Hussein bin Numair looked and he said, your salah will never be accepted, Hussein. Habib ibn Madahir said to him, how dare you, you donkey? you tell the progeny of Rasulullah that their salah will not be accepted. At that moment, from 12:45 until Dhuhr, a war broke out. Habib ibn Mudahhir died in a skirmish that took place at that moment. Habib ibn Mudahhir. And then from there, having died, they could see that they were trying to block Imam al-Hussein from praying salah. Hur turned around to Abu Abdullah, said, let me go on them now, please. I cannot bear to see them block you from praying your salah. Allow me to go now. And Abu Abdullah looked at him and he said, it's time. Hur said, it's time for me to go myself now. I'll go towards them now. They insult the Imam of my time, saying that his salah will not be accepted. All of a sudden, the companions, one by one, who had fallen, there was only a few left. Who was left now? Literally, the last 25 or so, 30 or so. At around when? At around Dhuhr. Zuhair ibn al-Qayn still had not died. He was still going to be alive. Abdullah ibn Sa'id al-Hanafi, the rest. Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi bid farewell to those who were there, to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. He bid farewell to them all one by one, but he was in such a state of certainty. He knew that now he would die alongside the son of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. He approached the battlefield and the soldiers began to surround him. He went through the soldiers of the opposition one by one, every time looking round at Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. In the middle of the battle, the soldiers began to surround him, but he continued to attack them one by one. They were all over him, literally from every angle they started to come to attack him. While in the middle of the battle, he came forward and said, "Inni ana al-hur wa ma wa al-dhayfi adribukum fi a'naqikum bis-sayfi an khayri man halla bilad al-khayfi adribukum wa la ara min hayfi." He continued to fight valiantly amongst all of them until Hussein bin Numair looked at Yazid bin Sufyan. He said to him, "How much hate do you have for Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi?" He said to him, "I want to take him out. I've waited for this moment." He said, "Then go ahead and take him out." But when he approached Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, he tried to attack him and Hur finished him with one blow. Then Ayyub ibn al-Musharrah came forward. He attacked the horse of Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. When he attacked that horse, Hur fell on the ground, having attacked the opposition. Even while he was on the ground, he got up, he attacked 40 of the opposition according to the Maqatil. But then they began to attack him from every angle until he fell with injuries all over his body. He had waited for this moment all his life. He called out, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah." Imagine that call that he had. He had waited all his life to make this moment. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam came running out on the battlefield. He sat by the body of Hur. Imagine this honor that Aba Abdullah is the one who comes and sits by your body. When he came by his body, what did he say to him? "Anta al-Hur, you are Hur, kama sammatka ummuk, like your mother named you. Anta al-Hur fi dunya wal akhirah, you are free in this world and the hereafter." According to certain maqatil, Imam al-Hussein, while he was by his body, he said the following lines: "لَنِعْمَ الْحُرُّ حُرُّ بَنِي رِيَاحِ صَبُورٌ عِنْدَ مُشْتَبَكِ الرِّمَاحِ لَنِعْمَ الْحُرُّ إِذْ فَادَ حُسَيْنَا وَجَادَ بِنَفْسِهِ عِنْدَ الصَّبَاحِ." Imam al-Hussein took his body like he had taken the body of the rest of his companions. He took his body when Hur fell, he took the body of Hur back towards the tent. When Habib fell, it was Imam al-Hussein who took his body back to the tent. When Abis al-Shakri fell, Imam al-Hussein took his body back to the tent. When Zuhair ibn al-Qayn fell, Imam al-Hussein took his body back to the tent. When John fell, Imam al-Hussein took his body back to the tent. I ask all of you one question: who took the body of Aba Abdullah when he fell on the afternoon
of the 10th of Muharram, who carried the body of Imam al-Hussein back to the tent. The poet says only one, the horse is begun to take his body from one side to the other. Inna lillah.
We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us with Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi and the rest of the companions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Ya Allah, raise us with the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. Allow us to be amongst his companions and those who follow his message, Ya Allah. The originators of this majlis spiritual journeys, may Allah bless all of their marhumin, Ya Allah. The Al-Khoui Institute, may Allah bless all those who have helped us serve this majlis, Ya Allah. Inshallah, we will continue tomorrow here at the Al-Khoui Institute. And then on Tuesday, we head off towards Karbala. Ya Allah, bless the soul of Ayatollah Al-Khoui and allow his family to continue to be of those who serve the path of Muhammad and Al Muhammad. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a Surah Al-Fatiha, but before it, the loudest of your salawat. Amen.